let's just come into the room by just doing that little. Was everybody? Patrick, were you here yesterday morning? Okay. So, I did, one of the things I found to be very, very helpful is, especially when I'm coming into a room to meditate with folks or by myself, folks being, you know, three or four personalities, get them all together. One of the ways that I found to do that is to just drop my chin to my chest four times. Slowly, and just let that those neck muscles stretch a little bit. And then to take my left ear and touch to my left shoulder. Four times. And then drop my head back four times. And then to take my right ear and drop it to my right shoulder. And then the next exercise is to take my chin and point it towards the left wall. And to do that four times. And then do the same thing to the right. The final set is to drop your chin and then roll your head to the left. Make it circle around your shoulders. Bring it back. And do that four times. And then finally do it to the right. Thank you. So, this is a meditation method that was taught to me by my Oxford Group mentor, a man by the name of Willard Hunter. And Willard passed about 4 years ago, and when he first got touched by that. With the Oxford group, they had everything in Alcoholics Anonymous, just about. We stole from the Oxford group. Formats of our meetings, formats of our conventions, the way we sponsor people, the steps. You know, there was a 12. No, it wasn't 12, but they had four spiritual exercises that they did. And then I became a member, like a lot of people, that there's a book called For Sinners Only. Oxford Group had great titles of books. For Sinners Only, I Was a Pagan, Life Began Yesterday, Ideas Have Legs, all kinds of great stuff. And anyway, Willard was a freshman in university, and he ran across the OG. The OG was given a talk, and he ended up going, and the ideas appealed to him. In the group, they say, "When did you meet the group?" And that's their anniversary. And at their meetings, they would get up and say, "Today's the day, you know, on the 27th of March in 2016, I met the group." And everybody, you know, gets excited about that. And I've got a book that with a bunch of the old guard and their names and their dates that they, you know, it's like getting somebody's sobriety date when they signed your book, that kind of a thing. So that's really sweet. Anyway, this was the method that Bill and Bob were taught in the Oxford group meetings about how to meditate. Now, if you really want to know the secret about how they would learn to meditate, pretty much is in page 86 to 88 in the big book. Because they weren't reinventing the wheel. You know, I mean, Bill gets out, he has his experience at Towns Hospital, and where does he run? He runs to where his sponsor was going to meetings. And his sponsor was going to three Oxford group meetings a week at Calvary Church. And so he was going to meetings. He and Lois went to three Oxford group meetings for about 3 years until they got kicked out. Basically, they didn't get kicked out, but Sam Shoemaker was on sabbatical, and Bill had started having meetings at the house. Or actually, they were having it, I think, at a cafeteria, an automat, and no secret meetings. You know, it's the big thing was you stay with the group, no lone wolfing, and Bill was accused of being a lone wolf. And so anyway, this is a wonderful method in meditating, and if you work with others and they tell you, "Oh, my mind's too busy, I can't meditate," this is a great way. This is meditation for people with ADD, the entire Oxford group, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And if you got a sponsee and they're going, "You know, well, I can't do it," you know, tell them, you know, "We've read Dr. Bob's Nightmare. Did you see how toasted this man was?" You know, he was doing stuff worse than the cleaning products you were smoking before you came to us, right? And the same with Bill. But Bob was really an interesting case. I've actually got a fun tape of a guy that Bob sponsored in the Oxford group. And then he went out drinking, and then he came back to Alcoholics Anonymous and stayed sober. And he talked about being in Bob's office. He's got all these pills behind him, the pills that he used to just throw down his throat all the time. So it's fun. So anyway, this is called How to Listen. And this particular method was written by a guy, an Episcopal priest, And what I did is I changed the language a little bit so that it's more contemporary. And so it's called How to Listen. And this is on my meditation website, which is the number 3 minutes, plural, minutesofsilence.org. So I'm going to read through this method, and then we're going to do it once, and then we'll do it a second time, just to, you know, have a little fun with it, and then I'll answer any questions or that you might have. So how to listen. There is a tradition of preparing for one's day by getting quiet and tapping into the intuitive voice that resides in each of us. Here's a technique that has been used for more than 90 years now by members of initiatives of change, and that's the new name of the... It was the first century Christian movement, then it was the Oxford group, then it was moral rearmament, and we became initiatives of change in, around the turn of the century. So one, take time each morning. An orchestra tunes up before the symphony. We can tune up our lives before the day begins. Once we open the newspaper or turn on the computer, most of us don't stop until we drop wearily into bed. So wake up. Get your coffee or tea. Grab a piece of paper and a pen. Number two, relax. Sit in a comfortable position. Consciously relax all your muscles. Be loose. There is no need to hurry. There is no need to strain during these minutes. We cannot touch the infinite if we're tense or anxious. Prepare yourself by breathing deeply and relaxing for 3 to 5 minutes. Number three, tune in. Open your heart to the ultimate reality, either silently or aloud. Say in a way that feels natural to you that you would like inspiration for this day. If you have a specific problem or are facing, ask for the answer. Be definite and specific in your request. Number four, listen. Just be still, quiet, relaxed, and open. Let your mind go loose. Let your intuitive self receive inspiration. Thoughts, ideas, impressions will begin to come into your mind and heart. Be alert and open and aware to everyone. Five, write. Here's the key to the whole process. Write down everything that comes to your mind. Everything. Writing is simply a means of recording what goes through your mind so that you can remember it later. Don't sort or edit your thoughts at this point. Don't say to yourself, this thought isn't important. This is just me thinking. This can't be inspiration. This isn't nice. This is an ordinary thought. Write what passes through your mind. Names of people. Things to do. Things to say. Things that are wrong that need to be made right. Write down everything. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, comfortable thoughts, uncomfortable thoughts, holy thoughts, unholy thoughts, sensible thoughts, crazy thoughts. But be honest, write down everything. A thought comes quickly and it even escapes more quickly unless it's captured and put down. Six, test. When the flow of thoughts slows down, stop. Take a good look at what you've written. Not every thought is inspired. So we need to test each thought, examining the written record. Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it unselfish? Is it loving? Is it in line with our responsibilities? And is it in line with my understanding of spiritual literature? Perfect timing. Did you notice that?
Sorry about
that. No, it was perfect. So any questions about that?
Can you repeat what you just said, the last part?
Oh, okay, the last part. It says test, and we'll go through more of that later. Thank you. Your timing's perfect.
Really?
Yeah. But you need a pencil?
We got a pen.
But you need something to write on. Oh, you got a notepad? Okay, good. Absolutely what I wanted. I can tell because you could cut it with a knife. The coffee. The request was, read the last part again. So test, when the flow of thought slows down, stop. Take a look at what you've written. Not every thought is inspired, so we need to test each thought by examining the record. And we'll talk more about that later, because there's another section down here, but we're going to first do this. And then the test is it, you test it to the four absolutes. Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it unselfish? Is it loving? Is it in line with our responsibilities? And is it in line with spiritual literature as we understand it? So, I'm going to read this one more time, just to, so take time each morning, you got that. But let's spend 3 minutes, and let's just relax. Let's just let our bodies go loose. And let's just come to the present moment. So now I'm going to read the three instructions again, and then we'll do it. So the third is tune in. So what we're going to do is we're going to open our heart to the ultimate reality, and in whatever way we feel comfortable, we're going to ask for what in AA parlance we call knowledge of His will for us. We're going to tune in and say, hey, I'd like inspiration for this day. No big deal, right? And then we're going to be quiet. You know, we'll say that silently. So we're just going to hang out together for about 10 minutes. And then we're going to, after we say that prayer to ourselves or to whatever, then we're going to just listen. And by listening, they literally talk about relaxing your mind, not making this a big deal. And one of the reasons originally this was called How to Listen to God. You try and do that, yeah. But how to listen, yeah. So we're going to just let our minds go loose and see what comes. And then anything that comes across your heart, write it down. Now, I have to let you know that I've had the privilege of reading Sam Shoemaker, one of the great Oxford Group members, personal journals that he did his writing in, right? And it's stuff like, you know, meet John, eat oatmeal. I mean, we're not looking for lightning bolts, okay? But we're looking for a method of getting some direction, okay? So let's just, let's take a couple of minutes and just tune in and then start writing, okay? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Just sort of like, just because we write stuff down, that doesn't mean that there's an answer. Right?
You never know how a rudder works until you get the boat in the water. Don't worry about learning how to swim until we get you into the river. Then we'll figure out all the other stuff. Yes, sir.
Okay. So let me get this right.
Yes.
When I'm relaxing, and a thought, releasing it, just to let it fly by the pop of the water.
Correct.
I write it down.
Exactly.
At that moment.
At that moment.
And then let it go and go back to relaxing until the next time.
And then, exactly. This is, you know how sometimes if you've got a Buddhist teacher, they'll say, thoughts are like a boat's going down the river and you just don't get on the boat.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're not going to get on the boat, but we're going to say, HMS Minnow. USS Enterprise. Okay? You know that. Okay? So that's all we're doing.
BB yeah. loves
Scotty. Huh?
So yeah. USS Enterprise. And I was like, BB loves
yeah, absolutely.
That's where we're going.
Right? Absolutely. So, all right. So let's kick it and then see where we go. Okay? So we'll take a few minutes and you don't have to force it, and that's why it's fun to do it in a group a couple of times the first go around. Okay? So. So, what's the difference between this and a task list? This is, oh, yeah.
You're not putting so much effort into it, you're just letting it come.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, it occurred to me that there's no reason to do it twice because we're, you know, we've settled in and the method doesn't, I've never been taught to do it twice. I was saying that for teaching purposes, but I don't. So I carry these little cards. My OG friends all carry little pocketbooks. You know, I mean, to write things in, their inspiration. And I carry these cards because they're multicolored, and I can tell one day from the next, and all that stuff. And so, I'll actually. When I get done in the morning, I'll transcribe it onto a note card so that I know. Now, the idea is, well, what do you mean the idea? Let's see what the rest of this then. So it says, so now we're done writing. It says, test. When the flow of thoughts, excuse me, coffee, slows down, stop. Take a good look at what you've written. Not every thought is inspired, so we need to test each thought by examining the written record. Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it unselfish? Is it loving? Is it in line with our responsibilities? Is it in line with my understanding of spiritual literature? The next, instruction 7, is check when in doubt and when it's important. So two different things. When it's in doubt, and when it's important, ask another person who is on the spiritual path. More light comes through two windows than through one. Someone who's interested in our spiritual growth may see things more clearly. Talk over what you've written. Many people do this with their domestic partners. There are always three sides to every question. And this line has been helpful to me so much over the years. Your side, my side, and the right side. Any question. Inspiration shows us which is the right side, but not who is right. Carry out the thoughts that come. You will only be sure of your intuitive voice as you go through with it. A rudder will not guide a boat until the boat is moving. As you follow, very often results will convince you that you're on the right track. And, you know, this is the fun thing about the spiritual path. We make an experiment. You try this for a few weeks, and it's in the following it that, you know, that you'll get convinced, because maybe somebody's name will pop up that you haven't talked to in a while. And you actually, because it's written down, today's the day I make the call. And not, you know, I called you because I got guidance from God. You just say, hey, what's up? And then see where it takes you. You know, this is the idea of being kind of a secret agent for the power. And then what if no inspiration comes? Generally, there's a reason. Here are some of the blocks. Any wrong relationship in my life. Any wrong that I have not faced and put right. any compromise or indulgence that I will not give up. Anything I know I should do but have not done. Sound a little like step 10 and 11? Yes, sir.
Could you please repeat that?
Yes. Well, and you can get this on the website. On the 3 minutes. Yeah, the whole thing's there. You'll get all of it. In fact, maybe I'll give it to the boys and they can put it on the, send it out with the tape. Okay, so you, sorry I didn't make that clear, but it's on the website, and so you don't have to worry about it. So it's any wrong relationship in my life, any wrong that I have not faced and put right, any compromise or indulgence I will not give up, anything I know I should do but haven't done. Results. We'll never know what swimming's like unless we get down into the river and try. We will never know how wonderful this technique can be until we sincerely try it for a while. Every person that I know who's honestly tried this has discovered a wisdom not their own come into their mind, and a power greater than human power begins to operate in their lives. It's an endless adventure. So this is kind of a fun thing. So, like, this is what I got. You know, I mean, it's like, it's Easter. Well, what do you do on Easter? Call your mother. My mom, okay?
I don't even think about Easter.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's call my mom.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going to call my mom, I probably ought to call my daughter. I don't expect her to call me, you know. And then call my colleague Susan Kim, because we have had some turnover at work this week. We had the head of housekeeping quit, and that's a really big thing. Thank Carrie, our hostess, but thank her in the way that she'd like to be thanked. So that means I got to go to Zach and say, okay, what can I do for the girl that would be lovely, that she'd like? Not that I want to do for her, but that she might like. And then send some stuff to Bill's wife, Karen, and ask my wife to call Karen and discuss our coming over in April. Nothing earth-shattering, right? But if I do these things, you know, I figure I'm following my intuitive voice, right? Because I asked for it. Yes, sir.
We've had conversations. You know, I love praying and meditating. Sometimes I feel like I do it too much. So I have a lot of experience meditating, you know, just the whole process of how that goes. So by doing this for the first time, I mean, I'm pretty used to, like, listening to that inner voice, my subconscious. So, I mean, I guess this method would probably be pretty good at it, starting off at first.
Well, yeah, and I'd love, if you want, anybody wants to share what it is that they got, you know, I'd love to hear it. The thing is that the idea is you write the stuff down, you know, you carry that little book, you know, and you write that down, and so during your day, if you're confused, what should I be doing? Or, you know, you come out of a brownout where you've just been thinking about something, you know, just problems. What should I be doing? Oh, I go to this. Or, as it says in the book, you stop again and you ask for inspiration and intuitive thought. What should I be doing next? And you stop and actually listen. But having the written record, it's very interesting to have that. I when I carried the books, I've still got them, you know, for years. So, yes, Will.
Writing on a to-do list doesn't mean you look at it. It means you've got it. You think you've accomplished something. And I'm talking about me now.
Right, right.
I mean, you know what needs to be done, but it doesn't really mean you're doing anything about it. It means you're looking at it. I've been reading an outline version of 86 to 88 for 29 years that I wrote a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it never occurred to me to actually write down at that time, at that moment, what was coming up as a, and connecting it to another symbol of mine, which is at least my own experience of character transformation over a long period of time. I never see more than two steps into the fog.
Yeah.
Ever. But if I walk two steps forward, I can see two more.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk two steps forward, I can see two more. Mm-hmm. And especially for things that are difficult or that involve a certain, and there's one task on here involving a professional obligation that is crazy because I know I'm really good at doing that, but it's at the beginning. Always kind of tensed up about how the hell am I going to approach this particular problem? All you need to do is take the first step, and another one comes, and then another one comes. But I never. So for me, it's like write down the goddamn first step.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Yeah.
No more. No answers. No solutions.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
What is a real step? I need to call two of my children that just had children.
Well, isn't that nice?
Somewhat isolated from. Much to the disgust of my wife. She just doesn't understand my isolation. I don't either. But I can't call them today. That's how they're newborn babies. Would never occur to me to write that down after a morning meditation. But and some of it's very practical.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is coming home from a long trip. I know exactly what I have to clean so that she
yes.
can feel comfortable.
When she comes home, absolutely.
When she comes home, and that the kitchen and the living room will be the way she expects to find, or likes to find.
Exactly.
Expects to find,
yeah.
Likes to find.
Yes.
And I did. I always try to do a task for her when she's gone. And I redid the music system to, I hope, will be to her satisfaction. And so, yeah, I've got stuff to do today. But it can be done.
Yeah.
I'll read mine. So I got Calmo, first one. check in with Graham. My grandmother's in the hospital.
Oh, nice.
Pray for Stone. Call Kippy. Sponsee I haven't heard from in the previous one, the sponsee who left treatment. I'm going to pick up my nephew with my dad later on today. Help clean up kitchen table A8. I got anxiety next to that because I'm like, oh, God, it's going to be such a pain. It's not that much we have to do.
Right.
But there's stuff left over from last night that I don't know where it's at, so I'm like, you might have about it. I got algebra homework. Call my sponsor. I'm thinking, where's Anthony?
I think he told me that he wasn't coming. He's working
okay.
today.
There it is. That answers that.
the answers will come.
Yeah.
back's giving me trouble. Can't work out. Will gain weight. Want to meet up with a certain lady. Possibly hook up. Don't want to waste my time.
You know, a lot of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm a little tired. Want to ask another particular female out. I'm fearful. But I hope Sheldon stays sober. And what I was going to just comment on this, I like the idea of like writing them down, it, where it's like once I see it, I write it down and I don't obsess about it. Because a lot of times. Whenever I'm meditating, the idea comes in, and I go, okay, acknowledge it, let it pass, but it doesn't leave.
Right. Feed the cat, feed the cat.
Get it, like, acknowledge it, okay, tie it up, put it and tie it, and put it to the side. So I enjoy this.
So the absolutely perfect. So then the thing is going back and reviewing it. The four absolutes, My Oxford Group mentor taught me, he said, they're targets. If you don't have a target, you're never going to hit anything. So it's what we shoot for.
Right.
We shoot for honesty. And they're linked in a certain fashion. If you can become honest, then you can be pure in your thoughts and actions. You're not just reacting all the time. You're not governed by, you know, my wants and desires. So you purity of intent. Then unselfishness, because once I can be pure in my intent, I can be unselfish. Because I know what I'm doing and why. And then loving. And so, you know, you go through each of these things and go, okay, now, you know, is girl number one, is it, how does it sort in there? Now, if we're growing along spiritual lines, what's that? Or is it girl number two or girl number four? You know, I mean, but it allows you to look at it from a different angle, if you wish. You know, just one.
I'll read mine.
Please.
Mine's like so simple. Forgive Brady, talk to Brady. And then the next thing that came was just show her forgiveness by talking to her. Next thing I got was give Jay a hug. And after that, it was tell Felix hello. Tell him I used to make paint for him after Katrina and Helm Paint in Lakeview. And that's what I got. Very simple.
Yeah.
To the point.
Yeah.
And the only question I have about the first one for myself is, you know, is it pure? So.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I want to give you a pure hug, Jay.
Bring it on. Yeah, please.
Oh, I have a speech problem and PTSD also.
Mm-hmm.
And this is amazing for that.
Yeah.
I've always tried to meditate because I've been told, you know, to try and try and try. And I've never been able to.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I mean, this is a whole other world. I think this is really going to help me a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
What's your phone number?
504.
Okay. Now you got my phone number.
Cool.
I will be delighted to talk with you and encourage you about this any way possible.
Okay.
Because it really is. It's a way to... Okay, cool. That's... Yeah. I mean, this is great. That's really, really fun. Thank you so much for sharing that. Oh, that's why I got up this morning. Cool as that, man.
So Jay, you have four things that might prevent us from doing this?
Yeah. The four things are any wrong relationship in my life. This is straight step 10. Any wrong relationship in my life, any wrong I have not faced and put right. Good morning, my friend. Any compromise or indulgence I will not give up. Okay? And anything I know I should do but have not done.
So how do those affect our thought patterns and meditation?
Well, I can tell you from experience that if I'm spending time on the computer looking at pornography, it scrambles my ability to receive inspiration. So that would be compromise or indulgence I will not face. This is just my experience.
That's brought out in this thought process.
Yeah, you know, well then you follow it, you know. Yeah.
It's like maybe
yeah.
I'm doing that.
Yeah. So, and the thing that I like in here is that, because I'm not, is that anything I know I should do but have not done. I like that one. You know, because I put stuff on the side burner. You know, and so, and when I do these things, it's like doing a tenth step, so that, like it says in the book, when these things are done, then I'm available for the inspiration. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know that the times that I've had the most difficulty meditating or kind of clearing my head is when I'm in a bunch of fear.
Right.
You know, when fear is present,
okay,
literally, I'm shutting down.
Okay.
They don't give me any alcohol to take care of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it takes me, I mean, it'd be kind of like telling somebody that they can't meditate if they're in fear. Is that what we're saying?
No. This is about specific actions.
Okay.
This is not about fear. Now, fear for me, one of the reasons that I think that this method is great is that it's kind of easy and loose. You know, it's not religious. It's not tapping into any of my old guilt strands. And it's practical for me. Now, if I'm in fear, it would seem to me that I'm trying to remember when I'm in fear, what I do is I don't want to sit down and take the time. That's my experience. Is that that's how the fear will manifest, is that I won't sit down and meditate because I'll be too busy trying to do something or just thinking about it. And so that's my experience with
this
that.
This method, I mean, it kind of mm-hmm. came out when he shared, was like, this would be perfect to
mm-hmm.
deal with the issues that you have that
mm-hmm.
you're so fearful
yeah, yeah.
about. That literally would occupy your mind when you're trying to shut it down. It's like, man, that thought is something I got to write down. I don't know if Bill was saying you don't take action on it. Literally, if you don't take action on it, you're
mm-hmm.
in a lot of pain.
Well, and then so the next day it's like, well, anything that I know that I should do but I haven't done.
Right.
You know, it's kind of there. Yeah.
Well, yes, but in my case, I'm perfectly capable of meditating and have an elephant in the living room that I've covered.
Oh, absolutely.
I won't even touch in that process. Won't even go close to it
mm-hmm.
because I'm unwilling change it to
mm-hmm.
begin with. I got that phrase from Bob Sands, the living room in AA, where you're doing the steps and talking about it, but there's something nobody will touch, and you want to talk with people who don't want to touch it either, so you can get along. But ultimately, you have to be willing to say, all right,
mm-hmm.
I got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about barriers to...
Yeah.
What prevents me from writing? Because mm-hmm. I'm not always willing to do this. And
I like Bob's line about whatever it is you happen to have in the garage going on.
So that's why I know that when I've broken the habit of not doing this in the morning,
mm-hmm.
not this, but
right.
just sitting down and even reading the 11th step prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something going on.
Yeah.
Because there's no other reason.
Well, and once you, and it's like that, you know, I'm not putting my oxygen mask on. Patrick, do you have anything you'd like to kick in?
I found it really cathartic. Sitting down, my thoughts were kind of all over the place and a lot of future based. I think
uh-huh.
about things in the future and what people could or maybe thinking about me. But, yeah. I do have one question.
Sure.
I've heard a guy mention, you know, trying different techniques as far as meditation is concerned,
mm-hmm.
just to maybe keep things fresh. And I was wondering your experience with this. Is this something that you've been doing for years and years? Or do you,
I don't. This is not my. This is not my current method.
Okay.
Now it's been my method probably. No, see, I'm not telling you the truth. It is my current method because I got the cards. And I've been using them for a while now. What happened for me, yeah, my line is pray and meditate the way you drank and used. Just try shit and see where you end up, right? I mean, really. And I had the most marvelous experience. There's a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And it's a classic book about how to unlock your artistic potential and all that stuff. And anyway, if you happen to have a girl, because it's a chick thing, really. I've always thought of it as a chick thing. I mean, it's a classic book. It's been out for 25 years. And Julia's a friend of mine. And anyway, my wife and I started doing the morning pages, and her deal is very much this, except what you do is you write 3 pages just freestyle every morning. And we've been doing that for the past couple of years. And then what I do is I go back through that and, you know, pick out the nuggets that I got. But there's all kinds of, you know, Bill and I have a friend who, or a mentor that does a method called centering prayer. It's marvelous. I've done chanting. I've done all kinds of stuff. This website that I keep referring to, it's the numeral 3minutesofsilence.org. I got a dozen different ways to meditate on there because I wanted to encourage people to do that. There's a labyrinth symbol, so you can click on it. You can find where the nearest labyrinth is, so you can go do a walking meditation anywhere on the planet. All that kind of stuff. Or my friend Tenzin Predaharshi, chanting Om and teaching you how to do that. You know, and you know, so it is. It's a marvelous adventure. Mm-hmm. You got anything you want to kick in? No, it's not supposed to be a to-do list. Not supposed to be a to-do list.
But, I mean, it was really good. I mean, I thought it was good, like you said, like this is good for those that like have ADD that have a hard time focusing. And then, like, they were, some others were talking about just being able to put it out and then get back to it. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like having a squeegee. You clear it off the top of your heart, but you got the stuff right here, and you can, so it lightens you up during the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Thich Nhat Hanh is like one of my favorite spirits.
Yeah.
And I have his book, Fearless, or it's Fear, whatever. And it's one of my favorite books. I mean, he has tons of meditations and mantras in the book, and mm-hmm. I actually did his like little boy. You talk to your little boy and all, and say like everything's mm-hmm. all right. One of a good one in there he has is when you do meditate, each thought, whether good or bad, you tell it hello and goodbye with a smile. And to me, this was kind of a process of, although mine was very simple, which is okay. I mean, that's be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, you see the thought, you write it down, and like when you write it down, that's sort of to me like telling it goodbye with a smile. But instead it's on paper, and that's to me like that squeegee process you just talked mm-hmm. about. You just squeegee it out, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think that's huge. I mean, we do a lot of writing, I think, in AA if mm-hmm. we're willing. And also, you know, psychiatrists have been saying this for years. You know, they don't know why it is, but we either, you know, repress stuff and push it down. And they know, like, over the long haul, that makes an individual very sick, especially neurotic. And then by writing things down, you can begin that process of like opening up, and you can start understanding what's going on inside of you. And then all of a sudden, like all these years later, to sit down and actually do something from a group that we're so heavily influenced by, this is so much, this is so simple. This is so easy.
Yeah. I really, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, no problem. In your noodlings around, there's a book called I Was a Pagan by Vic Kitchen. And Vic was sober in the Oxford group when Bill came in to Calvary. And he was a very active member and was all of his life. Vic had came to the Oxford group. He was an advertising guy, and he had a seizure in his largest, now called it seizure, in his largest client's office. So he and Bill became rather close. And when Bill comes in, this book has just come out. And it's just a really, really fun read.